We're about to begin. Good day and welcome to the Texas Instruments third quarter 2011 mid-quarter update conference call. Today's call is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Ron Slaymaker. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon. Thank you for joining TI's mid-quarter financial update for the third quarter of 2011. In a moment, I will provide a short summary of TI's current expectations for the quarter, updating the revenue and EPS estimate ranges for the company. In general, I will not provide detailed information on revenue trends by segment or in market, and I will not address details of profit margins. In our earnings release at the end of the quarter, we will provide this information. As usual with our mid-quarter update, we will not be taking follow-up calls this evening. Considering the limited information available at this point in the quarter, and in consideration of everyone's time, we will limit this call to 30 minutes. For any of you who missed the release, you can find it on our website at ti.com/IR. This call is broadcast live over the web and can be accessed through TI's website. A replay will be available through the web. This call will include forward-looking statements that involve risks and uncertainties that could cause TI's results to differ materially from management's current expectations. We encourage you to review the safe harbor statement contained in the news release published today, as well as TI's most recent SEC filings for a more complete description. We have narrowed and lowered our expected ranges for TI's revenue and earnings from our previous ranges. We now expect TI revenue between $3.23 and $3.37 billion. We expect earnings per share between 56 cents and 60 cents. The reductions are due to broadly lower demand across a wide range of products, markets, and customers. Operator, you can now open the lines for questions. In order to provide as many of you as possible the opportunity to ask a question, please limit yourself to a single question. I will provide you the opportunity to ask a follow-up question. Operator?
Thank you. If you do have a question at this time, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, that's star 1 if you have a question. And we'll take our first question from John Pitzer with Credit Suisse.
Yeah, good afternoon, guys. Ron, thanks for letting me ask the question. I know you mentioned in the preamble you weren't going to talk about operating margins or profitability, but I'm just kind of curious. The EPS line holding up much better than the revenue line on the new guidance, and I'm kind of curious if you could walk kind of through the puts and takes of what's driving that. How quickly are you guys able to react on OPEX relative to the current environment versus what might be going on in the mix of revenue?
Okay, John. There's really two reasons behind why you didn't see a more proportionate drop between EPS and revenue. The first is that we are reducing variable expenses really on multiple fronts just in light of the weaker environment that we're currently in. So, for example, our compensation includes variable components such as a bonus and profit sharing that we've now revised downward. The second consideration is that with our lower profit outlook, we've revised our annual effective tax rate estimate down to about 25% from our prior estimate of 27%. And as you're aware, since we had been accruing both of those items at higher rates during the first half of the year, we would also then have a catch-up in the accounting, a catch-up benefit in the third quarter. So that really explains the difference between, you know, what you might have expected for EPS to go to versus what we're projecting here. Do you have a follow-on, John?
Yeah, Ron, you talked a little bit about the variable costs that you can go after. Just on the fixed cost side, anything happening to CapEx and or headcount?
No. In terms of CapEx, no change to our guidance on that. And in terms of headcount, you know, I'll actually change that somewhat to hiring. I mean, we're actually still hiring for strategic programs. Hiring has become much more selective, you might say, in this environment. And we're certainly keeping our resources focused on what we believe are the best opportunities that we're addressing. But the hiring has become more selective. But outside of that, no real headcount swings other than, you know, what might come about from attrition. Okay, John, thank you. We'll move to the next caller, please.
We'll go next to Tori Somberg with Stifel Nicolaus.
Yes, thank you. Ron, could you talk a little bit about the distribution channel, what you're seeing there, especially as far as inventory levels and lead times? Just trying to understand, you know, how they are sort of reacting to this lower demand environment.
Okay. I guess what I would say is that we expect resale from our distribution channel to decline at about the same rate as our overall revenue. So, therefore, you know, kind of mid-single-digit declines on sales out of the channel. We expect really little change in distribution inventory levels on an absolute basis, although with the declining retails, they could be up somewhat on a day's basis. Do you have a follow-on, Tori?
Yeah. Should we assume that by product lines things are tracking the same, too? Trying to understand if you know, maybe your wireless business is tracking seasonally better than, let's say, analog and embedded processing.
Not really, Tori. You know, I guess, you know, just in general, we're seeing broadly lower demand across our product lines. And then, as I said previously, customers as well as markets. So if you kind of walk through the segments, we would expect both analog and embedded processing, which are both very diverse businesses, to decline sequentially. Wireless will likely be about even with the second quarter, but I'll also note that the third quarter is traditionally our wireless segment's seasonally strongest quarter, so flat is really pretty weak for that for a third quarter. Within wireless, you know, I would note that our OMAP applications processor revenue we expect will be up strongly compared with the second quarter, while connectivity revenue will be down due to customer bit mix. You know, baseband revenue will likely also be up. Finally, our other segment, really we would expect it to be up mostly due to DLP revenue that will benefit from increased output from our factory in Miho, Japan. And you might recall that product line and certainly that factory was impacted by the earthquake and the subsequent shutdown there. Okay, Tori, thank you for your questions, and let's move to the next caller.
We'll go next to Chris Stanley with J.P. Morgan.
Hey, thanks, Ron. Can you just maybe comment on TI's internal inventory and what the plans are for utilization rates?
Okay. So from an inventory standpoint, I think, as you might assume, inventory and inventory days will both move up this quarter as we had planned operationally for a stronger demand environment than what is evident to us today. So that being said, you know, we had already reduced production start even coming out of second quarter, although there will be some lag time before that action would impact the inventory level. And I said even coming out of second quarter, you'll recall that in second quarter, we said during the month of June is really when it started to become evident to us that we were seeing below seasonal forecasts out of our computing and various consumer customers, and that led to our guidance for third quarter to be below seasonal. So again, during the month of June, we had already started to take action to lower utilization rates, production starts. But again, there's, you know, until that works through the system, there won't be an immediate impact on inventory. I'll also note the inventory that we have in place, for the most part, are long-lived catalog products where really there's practically no risk of obsolescence. Do you have a follow-on, Chris?
Yeah, just to follow up on your June commentary, can you just talk about the linearity or trend of orders and bookings for this quarter and what it would mean for Q4?
Yeah, I don't know that I want to talk linearity, but I will say that, you know, orders are weak, and we expect that in total third quarter, orders will be down from the second quarter level. Okay, Chris, thank you, and we'll move to the next caller.
And we'll go next to Mark Lipacis with Jefferies.
Hello, Mark Lipacis.
Thanks for taking the question, Ron. In 2008, one of the things that we saw happen was the channel taking inventories below normal levels because of the panic associated with the financial crisis. And my question is, to what extent do you think what you're seeing now from your customers, the lower demand, is that driven by serious concerns about the market and people wanting to destock inventories and take them below normal? Or is this, do you think, a reflection of your customers just reacting right to the weaker demand environment?
I believe the latter. So we do not believe that what we're encountering would be a typical semiconductor inventory cycle. Macroeconomic weakness is resulting in broadly lower demand from both consumers and enterprises. And, you know, as our customers then are faced with lower demand for their products, of course they rationalize their inventory levels, but the real root issue is in demand, not too much inventory. And I think you'll recall we described in some detail back in July that we believed inventories were in pretty good shape, both in our distribution channel as well as, you know, the high percentage of customers, OEM customers, where we have consignment programs. So, again, we had reasonable visibility into inventory levels, and they seemed fine. But, of course, as people's forecasts, as customers' forecasts of their demand goes down, then, of course, they would rationalize inventory levels as well. Do you have a follow-on?
Yes. Analog companies are seeing higher commodity prices impact their gross margins. Is this impacting you guys?
I would say to some degree. I mean, you know, items like gold certainly are a factor in our costs, and, you know, they've commodities in general have gone up, but I don't know that we will now or certainly in October either be able to quantify that specifically. Okay, thank you, Mark. We'll move to the next caller, please.
We'll go next to Jim Covello with Goldman Sachs.
Ron, what do you get from the sense of your lead times versus your competitor lead times? The reason I ask, I'm trying to get a sense of, you know, how much of the incremental revenue weakness you're talking about today is a function of the fact that if your lead times are a little longer than some others, maybe, you know, maybe this is just kind of catch up from what others are seeing, or if this is just an incremental leg down for everybody. Thank you.
Jim, I don't know that we can answer that. I think our lead times, we would characterize, are at normal levels. You know, I would say that also includes MIHO source products where, you know, you might recall we described in July that lead times had been extended for those products that were manufactured there given the supply constraints. But we've pretty much resolved those and have lead times back to normal levels. So I don't know, you know, are we leading or lagging in terms of time versus what you've seen from others? But you know, we'll let you make that assessment. Do you have a follow-on, Jim?
Nope, that's good. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. And next caller, please.
We'll go next to Ross Seymore with Deutsche Bank.
Hey, Ron, just wanted to think about the utilization you said you were bringing down to try to control inventory. How does that flow through to the gross margin line? Do you period expense that, or does it have to work its way through so the gross margin impact is actually delayed by a quarter or so?
No, the gross margin impact is felt immediately, so we expense essentially any cost impact associated with underutilization. We expense in the current period, and all of our inventory is valued at standard cost. Do you have a follow-on, Ross?
I do. A quick one, just a clarification. When you talked about the wireless business before being roughly flat, did I hear right that both OMAP and baseband would be up? And if so, does connectivity really have to go down a ton to offset those two rising?
You heard right that OMAP is up strongly. Baseband we expect to be up, and connectivity will offset growth in both of those areas. That's correct. Okay, Ross, thank you, and we'll move to the next caller.
We'll go next to Ramit Shah with Nomura.
Hey, Ron, would you expect gross margins to be up given the reduction in variable expenses?
Ramit, we don't specifically break out guidance on even with our end of the quarter guidance. We don't get it down to the gross margin level, so I won't specifically address that. You know, I'll talk a little bit about maybe some of the puts and takes. We talked about even last quarter that sequentially we would have less impact from the costs associated with the shutdown and the various operational disruptions we had in Japan. So that would be a positive factor relative to last quarter. Certainly, utilization weighs on gross margin, although, I would say to a lesser degree today than, if you go back a number of years ago, just because, analog and embedded processing tend to be less capital intensive, and relative to revenue, those fixed costs would tend to be lower as a percentage. And then some of the positive offsets, of course, tax won't have any impact on cost of goods, although some of the variable compensation pieces would flow through cost of goods as well. Do you have a follow-on, Roman?
Yeah, Ron. I understand that the deal hasn't closed yet, but previously you talked about $100 million in synergies from the national acquisition. Is there any change there, just given the overall environment?
No, not at all. Maybe I can provide a brief update in terms of where we are with National and closing. And it really is unchanged from what we talked about previously, though. I think we had previously said we had cleared all the antitrust reviews. There were something like 12 to 15 various reviews that we went through around the world. All of those are clear, with the exception of China, which remains underway. National has their shareholder approval, of course, that occurred on, I believe it was June 21st, and we have all of our funding in place. So, again, the only thing we're waiting on is the clearance through China. We've encountered no specific obstacles. It's just taking longer there as we had initially expected. As soon as we get the China approval, you'll see us issue a public statement, and then we would expect to close the transaction within a few days of that notice. With respect to synergies, this remains about accelerating revenue growth at National. You know as well as we do, they have not grown consistent with the analog market overall. We believe we know how to turn that around and get their growth in analog very consistent with what you've seen from TI, which is a very significant outperformance relative to the market. So revenue synergy is the basis for the acquisition and for the returns that we believe we can drive on that acquisition. From a cost standpoint, we continue to expect that we will be able to achieve about $100 million of cost synergy and have that annual run rate achieved about 12 months after the close of the acquisition. Okay, hopefully that helps. And Romit, thank you for your questions. We'll move to the next caller.
We'll go next to Vivek Arya with Bank of America Merrill Lynch.
Thanks for taking my question. Ron, what is your sense of the industry broadly? Is this downturn looking like a one-quarter issue, or do you think it could persist in the fourth quarter? Also, I understand visibility is sort of limited right now.
That's correct. So I guess what I would say is, since this downturn is macro-driven, we really have no special insight into how long it will take. By contrast, in an inventory-driven correction, we can make some assumptions about how much excess inventory exist and the burn rate of that inventory to then estimate, you know, what might be the duration of the correction. In this case, you know, all I can really say is we're confident we'll return to growth whenever consumer and enterprise spending starts to increase again. And we'll let you make the estimates on when that might be. Do you have a follow-on?
Just one other one. I'm curious why connectivity would be down, but OMAP and baseband up in Q3. Do they generally track each other, or is there some other competitive issue at play here?
Not a competitive issue. It's simply a question of customer mix. We sell there's some overlap in our OMAP and our connectivity customer bases, but not complete. And I would just describe that some of our biggest connectivity customers have not been performing as well in their markets recently, and you're seeing that in our connectivity revenue. But again, I would describe it as much more a customer mix consideration than any kind of competitive consideration. Okay, thanks for your question. Let's move to the next caller.
We'll go next to Steve Daniels with Barclays Capital.
Yeah, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my question, Ron. I guess first question, in terms of end market, I was hoping you could provide a little granularity there of the puts and takes that you're seeing, in context of consumer and computing as being highlighted the areas of weakness in July. Curious what you're seeing as of today.
Okay, so you're right. In July, we really identified consumer and computing as areas where we expected below seasonal results in the current quarter. What's different today is basically that today we see broad-based weakness. It's across more customers and markets. For example, in July, we described that the industrial market was still stable for us. You know, today it's weakening. So in general, I would describe in-market trends as all broadly weaker, really without any major exceptions. Do you have a follow-on, CJ?
I do, thank you, yes. Given, I guess, the poor visibility you have today, uncertainty to the timing of a recovery, given how you stated it's macro-driven, curious what your plans are today. You've got inventory growing Q-on-Q, and would love to hear your thoughts on your plans for utilization and how we should think about the impact there to gross margins in the next quarter or two.
Okay, CJ, I'm probably not going to give you a completely satisfying answer, and other than saying, you know, what I said before, which is we have pulled back on production starts. We began that process in June. Utilization we would expect to be lower this quarter than second quarter as a result of that. Utilization is one of many factors on gross margin. As I said previously, we also have some puts as well as takes, such as lower Japan-related costs. But I'll probably just leave it there. All right, CJ, thank you, and we'll move to the next caller.
We'll go next to Srini Pajeri with CLSA Securities.
Thank you. Ron, on your balance sheet inventories, they were at 93 days coming into the quarter, and historically, you know, they were as low as 63 days. I'm just wondering, what's the right way to think about, you know, that number going forward?
Okay. Short term, as I said, 93 days will go higher. I think over the longer term, you know, there has been, as you've noted, a trend where our inventory levels have tended to move up. That's partly a nature of our product mix, and as our revenue gets centered up more and more on analog and embedded processing, and especially the catalog or standard product pieces of those product lines, as they become a bigger part of our revenue, you know, those tend to be more off-the-shelf type of models, certainly versus custom products where we tend not to build until we have a customer commitment in hand. The good news is those catalog products, as I described before, you know, in many cases will have 10-plus year product lives. So the risk of obsolescence, the risk of that inventory tends to be very low. There is some cost associated with that, but again, the opportunity and the relative profit associated with those catalog products certainly justifies the cost of carrying it. The other thing I would mention, and you've heard us talk about this for some time, is that inventory has tended to move upstream from distributors and from our OEMs to TI as we've implemented more customer-specific programs such as consignment. And frankly, yes, there's some cost to TI in terms of carrying that inventory, but there's a huge benefit from the standpoint of that inventory is positioned where it's most flexible, and it's also positioned where we have the greatest visibility. So the risk that you've seen in the past of various players hoarding inventory during times when the markets are hot and then having to deplete that inventory, and what that amplifies in terms of the cycles on our business will be improved anyway by us carrying that inventory versus having it downstream from TI. So I'll just leave it with that. Srini, do you have a follow-on?
Yes, Ron. On the end market discussion, you said most of the end markets are weak, but PC and consumer, they've been weak for a while. I'm just wondering, I mean, are they continuing to weaken, or at this point have they, stabilized to, a certain level?
I would say they're weaker than where we were expecting in July. And in July, what we were seeing was really not that we had seen those markets weaken or turn down versus we just weren't seeing customers forecast, seasonal growth in those markets. So it wasn't a turn down, it just was lack of growth. I would say at this point we would describe both of those have weakened. You might also be just interested in from a geographical perspective. One thing that's happening there, as we expected from a positive standpoint, is we are seeing some lift out of Japan. So as those various customers get their factories online, we're seeing that post-earthquake recovery happen consistent with our expectations. Okay, Srini, thank you. We'll move to the next caller, please. This will need to be our last set of questions.
Thank you. We'll go next to Uche Orji with UBS.
Sure. Thank you very much. Ron, real quickly, I just wanted to probe on the OMAP comment you made about it being up strongly. How much of that is seasonality and how much of that is new design win? And just for us to gauge how sustainable that strength is beyond just this season.
Okay, it is clearly new design wins, so it's not seasonality. It ties very specifically to programs that we've won, we've worked for some time, and we have customers now ramping programs into production, preparing for their product launches, I guess is the best way of saying it. In general, we're very confident in the strength of our design pipeline for OMAP products, and that goes across a broad range of customers in both the tablet and smartphone markets. There's still a lot of work for us to do to turn those programs into revenue, and we'll let our results there speak for themselves. I'm not going to try to give you a 2012 forecast for OMAP, but I will say that we have a solid ramp of programs. Part of what we're experiencing today, and we've got a lot more of those yet to come. Do you have a follow-on, Uche?
Yes, I do. The baseband business, please correct me, did I hear you say it's going to be up?
Baseband, we do expect to be up.
Right.
Was that a question?
I just wanted to clarify that before I ask my question. So are we still, is it planned still to ramp this down to zero or technically wind this down by the end of 2013, which is what you've said in the past? And the reason I ask it is that business has been resilient for much longer than one would have expected. And, you know, should we still be modeling this to technically be gone by the end of 2013?
That's a great question, Uche, and you're exactly right. We expect that by the end of 2012, that business will be ramped down, that revenue will ramp down such that we really have no revenue to speak of there in 2013. I think what you've seen is, you know, you'll recall the last two quarters, we saw very sharp declines in our baseband revenue. Our customer there obviously was adjusting both based on just their new run rates, but also probably taking care of some inventory of their products. And so you see a little bit of maybe seasonality come back, maybe also a little bit of, just call it a small snapback from that that inventory correction that we saw in the second quarter. But it'll probably be a bit lumpy, but the baseband revenue we do expect to decline through the end of next year. Okay, thank you, Uche, for your questions. And before we end the call, let me remind you that the replay is available on our website. Thank you and good evening.
Thank you, everyone. That does conclude today's conference. We thank you for your participation.